So we've been in the gospel according to Luke, and we've taken a little mini detour, just post-resurrection, focusing on the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. I love to look at kind of the post-resurrection moments of Jesus and some of his followers. And so we're in like a tiny little mini-series, and the aim is to get back into Luke in 2 weeks' time. We'll have one more installment of kind of the post-resurrection interactions of Jesus next week. So today, we're going to be in the Gospel according to John again today. We'll be in John chapter 21, and we'll look at verses 1 through 14. And I'll preach quick because there's tired people. There's an army of children out here with our kids leaders. So we'll say it prayerfully. And I think I can say it quickly. Robbie has doubts. He's got questions and doubts on this. But I'm picking on Robbie today. Sorry, dude. Sorry. He's never coming back. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, how awesome are you? You're worthy of our reverence and attention. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our surrendered lives before you. God, bless our time here as we look to your word, your instruction for us. May it shape our thinking, our hearts. May it build our faith. And may it refresh us in your care for us, that you would send us out with confidence, knowing that you're with us and you're for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was early Saturday morning. It was about 4:30 a.m., and I could not sleep. My alarm was going off, but I was already awake. I was pretty stoked because my older brother was home from college. He was back from Chicago. He was in New England, where we're from, and he went to Moody Bible, and he was home for the summer, and I was excited because he is my big brother, my oldest brother. And though he was busy, he wanted to carve out some time to hang out with me, though I'm like a little brother tag along. He says, hey, I'm going to come home. We're going to get situated. I'm going to take you deep sea fishing. And I was like, yeah, sign me up. I'd never been. My older brothers love to fish. You name the type of fishing, they're in on it. And so he says, yeah, we're gonna go fishing this Saturday morning, so get your stuff ready. He chartered the deal. We wake up. I'm already awake. Alarm's going off. We go outside. It's drizzling now in New England. If you've been to New England on the coast, it's cool and drizzly, even in the summertime sometimes, which drove Kristen nuts when we got married and she moved to New England with me. She was like, what? Why is it so rainy in the summer? I'm like, I don't know. It's just our lot in life. But so I wake up, we're ready, get all the stuff. My brother drives a Saturn. If you don't know what a Saturn is, kids, AI will tell you. We jump into Saturn, and we head off to the marina, and it's raining, and it's windy, and we get there. And the captain of our boat that day is like, hey, the weather's pretty crummy. The swells are 4 to 5 feet out there. Doesn't sound like a lot. That's not ideal. And he gave us the option as a group, I'll give you a rain check now, and we can kind of come back another day when it's better, or we can go out and give it a go. You know where it's going. What do you think we all decided? We even know the other people there. You go as a party, and we go, of course we're going. Yeah, we're going to go. Okay. So we go out about a mile out, and it's just up and down and up and down, and people are losing their breakfasts. Like, seasoned fishermen are, like, turning yellow and green, and it's not good. I'm not feeling great as a kid. So we go out for a little while. We fish for like a minute, and the captain just calls an audible. We're done. I'm taking you in. Graciously, it was another day. He gave us all rain checks, and we go another day. We get back to shore. We jump back into that amazing blue Saturn. I think it was a manual transmission. Pretty cool. Not all that cool, but it got us there. We're driving along the coast there in New Hampshire, and I'm like going to be really sick. So Chris pulls over, and there's all these beautiful antique kind of coastal homes with manicured lawns and gates, and I'm just, anyway, I lost everybody. They're like, wow, okay, I'm sick now. It was rough. Certainly the fishing was bad. The experience wasn't all that great. But you know what made the most impact for me? Certainly wasn't getting seasick and all that, but it was my brother Chris, and it was his willingness to spend time with me. busy, bright guy with a lot on his plate that summer, jobs lined up, opportunities lined up, and early in the summer, he made a plan to hang out with his kid brother. He was available to me. He was present to me. Though there was a million other things he could have been doing, he carved out time to be with me. As we come to the Gospel of John, we find a Savior in Jesus who, though was busy over the last few years providing salvation, though he was making the Father known, and though he was revealing the kingdom of heaven to the people, and there was myriad things going on, just millions of things going on, things that he could attend to and be a part of, he never seemed busy or rushed. So after Jesus comes back from the dead, he's spending time with his followers, with these guys, and he's encouraging them in the faith, and he's intentionally present with them, though he's dying, not literally, that was just so passionate and excited to go be with the Father. We see in the high priestly prayer, John 17, he's like, Lord, I cannot wait, basically, to get back into the glory and the fellowship that we experienced in eternity past before the foundation of the world. He could not wait to fully enter into that fellowship with the Father and with God the Holy Spirit. He was so amped to reconnect with the Father fully as he'd known for eternity and eternity and eternity past. And yet, he carved out time to be available for his guys. He was available, and he pursued them. I just want to tell you this morning, Jesus is available to you. He's a God who's accessible to you. He's a God who's relational. And sometimes, like, lovey-dovey songs are like, the God of the universe hardwired us for him and to be connected to him intentionally, purposefully, in unending fellowship and relationship. Jesus carved out time for his guys before he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And this same Jesus is available and accessible for us today as we seek him prayerfully, as we follow him in faith, as we gather here in community to grow in him and then to be sent out on mission to love our neighbors well and to share the hope of the gospel. The enemy loves to come in and say, man, like, God's a trillion miles away from your situation. He doesn't know what you're excited about. He's just sort of created it all, and he's just stepped away, and he's disconnected from you, and man, like, he's really busy, or like, we just have these different thoughts of who Jesus is. But this Jesus delights in connecting with his followers. We know that through the scriptures, Jesus is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Jesus dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is ready and wooing and calling us. He's always available to us. The question for me and for us is, are we available and present to him? Let's look at another fishing story, one that doesn't end with seasickness and losing breakfast and things like that. This is Jesus making time to go engage his followers and to fish with them. John 21, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias or of the Sea of Galilee. There's multiple names. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. So they're there. They've encountered Jesus after his resurrection. They've seen the scars on his wrist and in his side. They know that that is Jesus, Messiah, who died in their place, rose from the dead. He's trying to nurture and build their faith. And so he reveals himself again, pushing back on the doubts, pushing back on the questions that we have, the things we wrestle with. They had them too, as we looked at and talked about last week. She's there to nurture, to build them up, and to prepare them for fruitful ministry beyond his physical presence with them. So as they're waiting, Peter's like, I'm going back to what I know. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and maybe some of the others, they were pro fishermen, like legit commercial fishermen. From what we can tell, they grew up generationally fishing, their ancestors, and they were apprentices of fishermen. That was their trade and their calling, their vocation. In fact, when Jesus met them, hey, that's cool, you guys are fishing, but I want to teach you and train you to be fishers of men and women. They left all of that and they followed Jesus. They went back to what was familiar in the waiting. They knew fishing. They didn't know the future with Jesus fully. They were still wrestling in their faith with questions and doubts. So Peter's like, you know what? I'm a man of action. I'm going fishing. All right. Verse 3, they said to him, the rest of the disciples that were there, we'll go with you. And they went out and they got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. These guys were legit fishermen. They knew this body of water. Maybe they were a little rusty. Maybe they were struggling a little bit because they weren't doing this day in and day out for the last few years. But they went out and they got skunked. Verse 4, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So many responsibilities, so many things that Jesus had on his shoulders. I'm going to just keep highlighting this. He had time for them. He, with forethought and some planning and intentionality, pursued them. He knew where they'd be. He knew where they would land when they were done fishing. He knew everything, and he was there, ready to meet with them, waiting for them. And Jesus, not in a weird, creepy sense, is pursuing you and following you in love, seeking to build into you, seeking to care for you, seeking to walk through all the stuff with you, to celebrate with you. We're celebrating today, these families, these students, like applause and excitement. Jesus is right in the thick of it, cares deeply. He's there in the valley too. He's everywhere, always at the same time, right? Which breaks our, gives the brain an itch. He wants to connect with you and with me. Day or night, no matter the situation, he's pursuing us. Not to shame, not to beat us up, to convict us nonetheless at times, but to bolster faith, bring us into greater levels of existence and identity and life in him. They're out fishing, and Jesus is making a plan to hang with his guys. He knows what they need, and he's providing that. I'm going to tell you right now, he knows what you need, and he will provide you of what is needed. And the greatest thing that I need, that we need, this will sound cheesy, laugh at me, it's okay, I laugh at myself all the time. What we need, what I need, is more of Jesus. More of his grace, more of his compassion, more of his wisdom, more of his truth, more of his ways. We need more of him. So here he is, guys fishing through the night. He's waiting for them at sunup on the beach, and they caught nothing. Big, fat zero. You fishermen and women, you know, you have those days, those wonderful days on the water, and they have those other days. It's wonderful nonetheless because you're outside in God's creation, but you catch a whole lot of nothing. They caught nothing that night and that morning. Verse 4, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus yet. Shadows, darkness giving way to the warm glow of the sun on the horizon, and they can't quite make out who Jesus is off on the shore at a distance. Verse 5, Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." Not a lot of detail. They didn't want to talk about it. That's the big question when you come back fishing. Did you catch anything? Sometimes you don't even have to ask your friends because they're just telling you what they caught. They caught nothing. Jesus asked and he said, "No." They're a little reluctant here, it seems, just based on the language, because they're not quite sure who it is that they're talking to at the moment. And they're just like, "Nope, we caught nothing." Verse 6, Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you're going to find some fish." Here they were fishing all night. Again, they're training. We've touched on that. Like, this wasn't their first time on the water. They know this custom. They know the trade and the art and the science of fishing. They know about conditions. They know about all the stuff. They struck out. Jesus says, "Well, no, cast the net on the right side of your boat and let's see what happens now." They're probably like, "Okay, what? You can't tell us anything we do not know. Sure, okay." Jesus is just cast over on the right side of the boat. Check this out. So they did. They cast the net over on the right side, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Later on in this text, we see that they caught 153 large fish. They couldn't haul the net into the boat because there's so much of a catch there. Jesus is demonstrating, I'm Lord of all. I'm Lord of the Red Sea, of the Sea of Galilee, of Tiberias. I'm Lord of all creation. I'm Lord of these fish. He's the creator God. He's the sovereign one who designed all of this and spoke into being. I'm Lord of over all of that. And at his guidance, all the fish just gather into their net because he is Lord and he's King and he's in control of all things. I'm here to tell you and encourage you this morning. He loves you, he cares deeply for you, and he's Lord of creation. He's also Lord of the universe. He's sovereign King over all of who we are. If he was in control of the creation of these fish there that were brought into the net, he's in control of our lives too. Can trust him too. Jesus is reminding his men, like, "I am who I said I was. I'm Lord, I'm King, I'm Messiah, I'm the Savior. I'm in control. You can trust me." When they went fishing without Jesus, the results weren't all that great. But when Jesus got involved, things happened. When I try to lead my home, love my kids, love my wife without Jesus in the middle of it, it's okay. But I would say it's less impactful and less fruitful. But when I'm yielding to Jesus and we're pursuing him in our marriage and Jesus is the focal point, wonderful things happen. I'm not saying it's perfect. It's not. We talked about it last week. It's messy. But when Jesus is at the helm, when we're yielding to him daily, when we're seeking him in worshipful prayer, when we're just leaning on his leadership and surrendering to him, things happen. But when I try to manufacture or produce things or lead without Jesus, which we can fall into, the end result is usually not great. But when we surrender to him in faith, and we're desperate for his instruction and his guidance, and when we apply his instruction for us, life comes alive, like true life flourishes. Jesus was available to his guys, and he was instructing them and revealing more of his power so their faith would grow. And he's inviting us to trust in him as King, as Savior. He's inviting us to receive his instruction, to live it, to apply it. When Jesus is involved, wonderful things happen. Great things happen. There's a temptation at times to sort of navigate on our own, drift a little bit. Just trying to like manufacture stuff or like less dependence or less desperation for the Lord and his grace and his movement in our lives. The enemy for a long time since the beginning has been isolating us, trying to get us to sort of go it alone, to make it happen, to come up with a game plan. And Jesus is saying, surrender, yield. Back in John 15, he says, guys, I am the vine, you're the branches. Unless you're connected to me, unless you're attached to me, you can bear no fruit. There's going to be no eternal impact. There's going to be no lasting sort of rigor if you're doing it on your own and detached from me. It's going to be tough. He's available to us. Are we available to him and sensitive to who he is? And do I have a hunger for his instruction and his guidance, his wisdom? His plan, the future for me, the future for these students, the future for your relationships, the future for your career, the future for a marriage. Like, we're leaning on him and his guidance. They went out, had no success. Jesus gets involved, and he guides them to build them up in the faith. And incredible things happen. Life becomes life in and through Jesus. His presence and his guidance, his leadership in our lives. Jesus said, cast the net over here, and they were flooded with fish. Jesus did that. So may we, as it comes up so often, take simple steps of obedience with Jesus. He knows everything you need. He knows every detail of your dreams, your concerns. And he has for us the words of eternal life that root us in him, that propel us forward with him. And it's not just that we want Jesus as sort of like an additive to life or like a supplement. Like I take supplements or something. I don't know if they do it. I think they do stuff for me maybe. But like Jesus isn't just like a protein shake on the side or a supplement. Like he's everything. He's everything. And the more we trust and the more we listen and the more we receive from him, the more we just say like, okay, Lord, I don't get this. It's so foreign from my upbringing. It's so foreign from everything I know. But like, I'm going to take this step of faith and I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to pray for my enemies. And that's hard because there's people that have harmed you or tried to harm you. Like, I'm going to do that. And the more we lean into these things and he builds our faith, the more we're like, I don't want the old pathway. I don't want that anymore because I know what that leads to. I know the chaos. I know the angst. Like I want you, Jesus, in your way. Cast the net out. Trust me. He's going to call us to outlandish things that are like, well, that's weird. Or you're going to find yourself at school, you're going to find yourself on the job, and you got your break to walk around the Capitol. And you're like the Holy Spirit's going to say, go and talk to that person. Go and sit with that person. Go be present to that person that you might encourage them, maybe listen to them. He's going to challenge us to do some things that will make us uneasy, that are in line with his instruction, in line with his word, but are about bringing glory to him and about encouraging others. Cast it on the right side. See what happens. All right, back in verse 7. I'm picking up the pace. All right, I got 10 minutes. We can cover a lot of ground. Here we go. All right, so that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's the Apostle John referring to himself kind of in humility, but also like, Jesus loves me. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. Oh my goodness, it's the Messiah. It's our King. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. They were fishing all night, working up a sweat, lost his cloak, puts his cloak on, classic Peter fashion, jumps in the water and starts swimming for the shore because he wants to be with Jesus. Verse 8. The other guys do too. They're just a little bit more sensible and they want to stay dry. They also have this haul of fish that Jesus provided. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Verse 9, when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus, in a loving sense, was on the offensive. He was pursuing these guys. He was available to them. He put thought and time into this. They're out fishing. He knew where they would land, and he'd prepared a fire for them. He was making breakfast for them. So he was available to go fishing with these guys and to break bread with these guys, though he's the Savior of the world. Always present. Yes, busy, but never in a hurry. So he's making them breakfast. Jesus said to them, verse 10, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of the large fish, 153 of them. And although there was so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast with me. Jesus will meet you for breakfast. He will meet you for brunch. He will meet you for supper. He will meet you in the middle of the night. He will meet you early in the morning. He is available to us. Do I have an appetite and a desire to be available to meet with him? Hey, bring some of that fish. Come have breakfast, verse 12. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Verse 13, Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. He's king over death. He's king over sin. He's king over creation. You know, the Artemis II went around the moon. The God of the universe designed that and spoke it into being. He's king over the fish that just, the net was placed where Jesus wanted it. He drove those fish supernaturally into that net. He's reminding his followers, I'm available, but man, am I different. I am king. I'm the sovereign one. I'll provide for you. I'll give you good instruction. And I'm coming to do life with you. They were concerned and confused about the future. And who wouldn't be? I have concerns about the future at times. Like, I'm just being vulnerable. Like, what kind of world are my crazy boys and my sweet little daughter, she's a little crazy too, but what kind of world, like what's happening? You know what gives me sanity? Clarity? Confidence? It's the King with the nail-pierced hands, the nail-pierced ankles, the scars in his side where they ran the spear into him. The fact that he rose and he interacted with these guys and some 500 more. And the word of God, the promises of Jesus, that gives me an equilibrium. That provides sanity. And in the midst of all of that, even trusting his instruction and trying to apply and do his thing, yeah, the goofy preacher, I'm talking in the third person today, like, I need some sleep myself. Like, I still have, there's things that, like, trouble me and us. It's okay. There are troubling things that we see in our homes and in our communities and in the world. And it's just a reminder when we think that maybe we can put a Band-Aid on the situation or we can kind of collaborate and sort something out. It's a reminder that ultimately things are radically broken and the only remedy is Jesus Christ. Outside of the sovereign work of God, there's no hope. But praise God, the creator and sustainer. Our first love is alive and well and moving forward with confidence, with a plan. And that great plan includes you and it includes me. There's things that were troubling them, just as there's things that trouble me and trouble us. But Jesus is like, take heart. I've overcome the world. I've overcome sin. I am alive. I am leading. I am ruling. And I'm leading forward, fulfilling all my promises that you might live now and that you might live for eternity. So Jesus is available to us. That's what really shook me about my brother Chris, is he wanted to hang out with me. He was willing to spend some time, though there was a lot going on in his life as a young college student, he was available to me. The Savior of the world is available to us. Will we be available to him? Will we be sensitive to him daily? Hearing from him as you're driving, as you're out in the field and you're working the crops, as you're out ranching, as you're commuting, covering ground here in the state, going to various towns for your role, or even the short commute in town if you're in town, just having the scriptures read over you on your phone, through your speakers, taking moments throughout the day just to sort of align with him in prayer, quiet prayer, leaning in him. He's available to us. Are we available to him? And may we lean on his power, his guidance. When we embrace his rhythms, it's not perfect, but wonderful things happen. Good things happen that can only be explained by him and his provision and his wisdom and his care for us. He's available, ready to connect with us. Are we available to connect with him? And are we leaning on his wisdom and instruction? When he's involved, redemptive things happen. And lastly, as he's available to us, who am I available to in my home and in my neighborhood and in the community and our church family? Because as Jesus ministers this incarnational ministry of presence, the God of the universe veiled in flesh coming for us to do life with us and to rescue us, he's also sending us out to be available to those around us. I was talking to a friend this week, and they were just saying, like, I've learned how to say no, and that's hard. Some of us are wired to say, oh, yes, 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 yes. But in our humanity, and we are very human, we are not Jesus, we have limitations. But who must I be available to? Who's the Lord calling me to be present with? Yesterday, because I have OCD, I was like, I'm okay, I got 800 things on my to-do list at the new house. I'm like, do this, do this. When I do that and I do that, that'll open up this opportunity to do that. And once I build this piece of furniture, then I can build that bed and like just all these different things. And our kids were out playing, had play dates. They came home, and our sixth grader came up to me, and I'm in the middle. I mean, I got dust. I look like I've been in a coal mine. I'm, like, sweating. And my son says, Dad, will you play catch with me? Yeah. 3 years ago, I would have said, let me just tackle this one last thing. And then I don't always get it right, and I know there are demands, and our kids do need to understand, like mom and dad, that there are obligations and responsibilities that sometimes are priorities that we need to tackle in order to be freed up, to be fully present. But man, there are so many times where I can, yes, and you know what I did? And I'm just being candid. I was like, yes, yeah, like squeaky voice, of course. Then we had to go find our gloves because they were hidden in a box somewhere. We played catch. In that moment, there was nothing else that I needed to be doing except for playing catch with my sixth grade boy. I need to be available to Jesus, and then I need to be available to Kristen, and then I need to be available to my kids. And as much as I can, I want to be sent here to this community with you to be available to you within my capabilities and with my time frame. Who's he calling you to be available to? One thing I'm working on is I want to be better at initiating. Look at Jesus. He was ready. He was making breakfast for the guys. He didn't wait for them to come back and sort of initiate. He initiated. So I want to get better at initiating. Rory, do you want to have a dance party? Let's do it. Get the speaker. Let's go. Do you want to get ice cream? Well, I am very good at initiating that. Body by Zesto, okay? You've got these moments in life. We don't know how many. We don't know how many days. We know the Lord controls it. He knows our days. He knows, like, the hairs of our head. He knows, and he's in control, and we find so much rest in that. May we be available and present like Jesus, and may we initiate. We all have people that the Lord's putting on our minds right now. Someone in the job, they're like, man, like they're new to town, or they're, you can just tell, or something's going on. Take them to lunch. You've been meaning to. Take that stride and say, hey, let's get supper. Let's get lunch. Let's be available to Jesus. Let's receive his wisdom, that it would guide us, that we would apply it, that we would do it his way. And when we do it in his kindness, wonderful things happen. It's not perfect. And who are the people that the Lord's placing in your path? There's some in your home. There's some in your neighborhood. There's some on the job. And there's others that will come into your life this week that the Lord is going to position in your pathway to be present to them, that you might point them to Jesus. So who should you take fishing? Don't hesitate. Go and do it. Make the plan. Maybe it's a family member that you love, you care about, that you've been sort of disconnected from. Call them. Don't wait. Open up a line of communication where it's healthy and appropriate. Reach out. Clear the air. Be intentional. Go and pursue them. Let's get coffee. Let's hang out. Let's be available to those in our lives that the Lord puts in our pathway. We'll talk about boundaries in another message. But today we need to pray now. Because we're 4 minutes past, and some of you need a nap and some lunch. Okay. Heavenly Father, Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for the way you pursued your guys, your followers, the way you pursue us. It wasn't simply believe in your death, burial, and resurrection and then try to figure it out from here. You repeatedly come to us. You're available to us. So God, you're good. We don't have it all figured out, but we find great peace in knowing you do. Thank you for being a present, loving God, a creator who's in control of all. Thank you for being an incredible God that provides what is needed. And thank you for never leaving our side ever. Lord, may we rest in that reality, and may we be sent to live lives that are intentionally present and available to the people you're calling us to care for and to do life with. So give us hearts of compassion as you have for us, and may we intentionally point people to you, Jesus, our Alpha and Omega, our Rock and Redeemer, our Lord and our God. So bless the people today. Send us out with your presence, knowing that we can face these moments with you, for you are with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And grateful for you guys. Please hang out. I also wanted to, we do have a birthday here, Fallen, sorry.